out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. I will only read the first part of verse 3. I speak on the subject of marriage after divorce. Verse 3, marriage is honorable in all. So I understand that there are those who would like to change that verse of Scripture. They would like for it to read, marriage is honorable in all unless they have been divorced, and then if they marry again, marriage is no longer honorable. That's not what the Bible says. That is only what you say. Now, marriage is good. I think we'll all agree to that. I've been married for 36 years. The only woman who probably has been. And it's good. Don't ask her, but in my opinion, it's very, very good. My subject is one of great importance. It is of extreme importance that pastors and preachers are right on this subject. In every pastor preacher, you will deal with this issue during their ministry. There will come a time when you will have to give advice on marrying or marrying again or divorce. So it is important that you understand exactly what the Word of God teaches. You have the power given you by God as a pastor to dictate the happiness, the ability to serve, and even sometimes the morality of those who come before you with questions about marriage after divorce. You say, why morality? Because the Bible says it is better for them to marry than to burn. That burn means to burn the lust. They're better off to marry again after spiritual divorce than to burn with that lustful desire. You have the responsibility to give them biblical advice. So what I preach about this morning is what is known as a life subject. Because it is a subject that affects the life of everyone who has ever been involved in a divorce. There's only two things I want to notice in this passage. First, I want to define divorce. And secondly, I want to defend marriage after divorce. And I'll defend it in two ways. I'll wait till I get to that. Let me give some preliminary remarks about divorce as we define. For many, this is the sin of all sin. It is the grandiose. It is the worst possible thing that a man can ever do to get a divorce. If you go through the Word of God, and you read verses in Matthew 15:19, and you read over the book of Mark, and you read 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, where there are these long lists of sins that are mentioned, not one of them mentions divorce. Now, they mention the causes of it, but they do not mention divorce. Certainly, we agree that it was the intention of God that one man for one woman for life. That's very clearly called in the Word of God. But let me give you a fact. Men and women are sinners, and we don't always follow the intentions of God. Sometimes our intentions go astray. In fact, because men and women are sinners, God sent His Son to pay for those sins on the cross. Because men are sinners, God provided two avenues of divorce that are scriptural. As Troy mentioned, He stepped all over me in some areas. In many divorces, and I'll illustrate this later, there is an innocent party. Now, let me give you some negatives about divorce. First of all, incompatibility is not a scriptural ground for divorce. Secondly, falling out of love is not a scriptural ground for divorce. The number one cause of all divorce is money. That's not a scriptural ground for divorce. Lack of children is not a scriptural ground for divorce. Not spending enough time together is not a scriptural ground for divorce. People enter into marriage lightly. Think of how easy divorce can do. They forget that involved in every divorce there is sin. Two things I want to mention about divorce that I define. I want to mention divorce is illegal, and secondly, that divorce is logical. Now, I do not mean legal by the courts of law. I mean legal by the Word of God. That in reality is all that matters.
Amen.
There are two scriptural grounds for divorce. I'll hurry through these. who thought they were going to heaven and went to hell. Because God forgave them and paid their sins on Calvary's cross. I am not slighting divorce. I am not slighting sin. I am magnifying the cross and the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gives a man a right to divorce his wife on the grounds of adultery. Surely, no one will argue that. It cannot be clear. It's the second ground. You want to say adultery? I say abandonment or desertion. 1 Corinthians 7:9, and if they cannot contain, let them marry after they have a divorce. They cannot marry again if there is not a divorce. Read it and study. Verse 15, with the unbelieving depart, let them depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. God has called us to peace. Surely we all know this has, and this has happened. There are people who walk away from the home. Let me just add this. Separation is not a biblical term. Separation is wrong because separation greatly hinders the possibility of restitution. And if there is a separation, I just dealt with this in my church, there is to be absolutely zero romantic involvement with anyone else until a divorce is final. I told him, if there is, you'll come under the discipline of the Grace Baptist Church. I believe that. The hope is always that those things will be resolved. Note the words, not under bondage. What do those words mean? Well, you are free from the bond of marriage. It's loose, it's broken. I'll explain that more in a few moments. Divorce is not only legal, it's logical. It is logical because of sin. It is logical because of the justice of God. God does not punish the innocent. Here's a woman who loves her husband. She desires to keep their marriage intact. She is and has been a good wife. She has been faithful for all the years of their marriage. Her husband is a habitual cheater. She has forgiven him several times, but he files for divorce and moves on with another woman. It is logical that she has scriptural grounds for divorce. Let me go a little bit further. You're the woman that is continually beaten by her husband. Don't think this will happen. You know what that is. Continually beaten by her husband. She turns it in. He is arrested and put in prison. Now, to me, that's abandonment and desertion. She has scriptural grounds for divorce. Argue if you want. Man leaves his wife. She begs him to return. He says no over and over again and refuses to return. He has abandoned and deserted his wife. She has grounds for divorce. Let me give a summation of defining divorce. I'll give two scripture grounds. The word divorce has a very specific meaning. To break the bond is a stick. It is one stick. Now it's no longer a stick, is it? This is a stick. This is a stick. The bond has been broken. The same is true in marriage. This one stick has become two sticks. And in a scriptural divorce, the combined, the couple, have now become two separate people. No longer bound by the commitment that was made by them before God. You also, in summation, know that divorce is always the result of sin. Not always on both parts. I've rushed through that. Let me get to marriage defended. I look at it from two angles. Marriage defended for common people. And marriage defended for called people. Now by common, I'm not simply a term of people who have not been called to special service by God. What mission I have to preach. No, I have no one sure that a person who has a spiritual divorce cannot marry again. No one should argue that. The Bible is crystal clean. It is unfair. I go so far as to say it is even sinful for a preacher to tell someone they cannot marry again under any circumstances. Sinful. There was a preacher at a church in Cadillac, Michigan that refused membership to a woman because she had been divorced and was remarried. That's a sin. Come to my church, Will Taylor. I'll tell you this, Will Taylor, even for divorce, is unscriptural. Because God forgives it.
Amen.
Because God forgives it. Never lose sight of that. God forgives the sin over on the cross.
Amen.
Let us notice the fact that I'm here again. Matthew 5:31-32, where Jesus talks about marriage, and he gives a clear example that you can marry again. 1 Corinthians 17-15, we've been through a lot of these. If the unbelieving part of the heart, brother, sister, is not under bondage, if he's not under man bondage, he can marry again. John 4:17-18. Jesus in the woman's scenario. Jesus said, thou hast well said. In other words, you told the truth. I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and who thou now hast is not thy husband. In fact, thou said the truth. Now, I don't care if it is Greek or it is English. Hast had is past
tense.
Hast had means you don't have a lack. But please don't try to tell me that all five of those husbands died. Every indication is that this was not an elderly woman. Certainly was not a church woman.
Yeah.
And for every indication, she very well could have been the guilty party of these divorces. But what do you know? God had to go through Samaria to save her also.
Amen.
I'll guarantee you one thing. After she was saved, I bet she had everything quiet at home. I want to ask you something. How many husbands this woman has? Yeah, five. But Jesus said, thou hast had, you don't have it now. She has zero husbands. Why? Because the vine was broken. How much clearer than the word of God said? Now let me move on to marriage defending for cause. People, I have no idea where my time is. I told Dean, let me know because I messed up this time. Do not accuse me of situation of theology.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the right.
Amen.
When you become God, and you sit on that throne, and you're able to see into my heart, accuse me of anything you want to.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'll accuse you of situation of theology.
Yeah.
Hasn't happened to you yet, has it?
Right.
Or one of your loved ones. Hasn't happened yet. You're all pure and innocent, and all your loved ones are all married to the same woman. Maybe you have situation theology.
Yeah.
Nothing has happened in your life that caused you to go seriously study and search the Word of God. I am not divorced and remarried. My father was. I'm ashamed of that. I'm not. I'll deal with that a little bit later on also. Let me see the verse. Now, because the question we're dealing with, we talk about all men. Is the opinion, and that's all it is an opinion or a theory, it's not a fact. I stand behind that. They say that a man who is divorced and remarried is not qualified according to Scripture to be a preacher or pastor. You are wrong.
Amen.
Not because I said you're wrong, but book of us.
Amen.
Right. Let me deal with it. They run in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. Titus 1, 6 through 9. They say these are the qualifications. What's qualification? Well, I got out of high school, I went for a job interview. And it said one of the qualifications was to read blueprints. I thought I could make my way through it, so if I never just read blueprints. But I left, they probably laughed. So they said, can you read this? I thought, oh, what are those things? I was not qualified for the job. I don't think these are qualifications. I think they are guidelines. Guidelines that are set down that every minister of the Word of God should strive for. Because if there are qualifications, nobody here is qualified to stand behind this book. Including the man behind me right now. Nobody. If they're qualifications. Let us notice these guidelines. Blameless! Oh my. If you're blameless, raise your hand. I'll sit down and you can come up here. Blameless! Husband of one wife. I'll deal with that later. Rule his house well. What if your children don't go to church? What if they get in trouble? What if they get into drugs? I'll just say, I'm an upfront guy. My son got a woman pregnant before I was married to her. Do I need to step down? I'll tell you one thing. If you're going to say a divorce, a married man can't be a pastor, you're going to put me in that seat. I've never been down to rule my house very well. Vigilant. So this is really going to get to me. The word vigilant there in the Greek means temperate. Now look at me. I look temperate, control. I found out I was diabetic. I weighed 319 pounds. I became controlled. I went on a 500 calorie a day diet, and I worked out, and I got down to 235 pounds. I quit being temperate, and now I'm up to running a business. But if you're not temperate and controlled, you're a bullhead. You're a qualification. Good behavior, hospitable, apt to teach, not given to wine, not a striver, not greedy, patient. Oh my, don't you ever run out of patience? You have children. I can say you have a wife, but my wife, I need you have children. Let me tell you about patience. Lack of. Why, Danny? What's this, Danny? Can I have this? I have grandchildren now. I'm not so patient with them. I was on the children. And if I were able to everything was sore, I'd just give it to them. But do you ever run out of patience? Yeah, if people are going to pay you. Not a novice or not proud of good report. Titus said, now having faith for all of us. Okay. The Greek word there is believing. Are your children saying? That's bull. You've been involved. You say, well, I have no control of what my children are saying. There are people who have no control if we're not to get a divorce either.
Right. Right.
Don't hand me that line. Yeah. Hand me that stuff up. Well, God knew that we're going to get a divorce, so it's never a problem to preach to start with. Study it. Holding fast the word. How much truth do you have to put in God's holding this week? Others, some aren't sound a lot of things. Now let me move on. I want to hurry and get to the other point. I want you to tell me which one of these things I just mentioned do not apply to every church.
Amen.
Which one of these are different than what the call over me, the common person?
Right.
There is a different standard in the Word of God. Let me deal with the question, husband and wife. First, note the inconsistency amongst the believers of these. They don't even know what each other believes. And I found that one sure sign of heresy when the inconsistency found their them over to the mission field and let them baptize and start churches and teach and instruct. But although he keeps it past. Some believe that if he calls on his marriage and to a divorced woman, he can't get past. Others would not believe that. Some believe the divorced man is living in adultery. There was a form when this man came on and said, Joe Wilson has two wives and he is living in adultery. And of all people, I can't in this case. And if that's not true, I will tell you something. Even if you are the guilty party in a divorce, you married, you can't get rid of adultery. You're not living in it. You're not living in that adultery. God doesn't forgive it.
Amen.
If they are living in it. And if Bill Wilson was living in adultery, then so are all the divorced members of their church, and they should all be excluded. Oh, don't say that, preacher. We need to pass on. Some say a man whose wife has died, he is remarried again to be a preacher. Some say he can't. Let me say this. Divorce does the exact same thing that death does. It breaks the bond. Some say a single man, and he doesn't. If these are qualifications, cannot be a match. Some will say that the preacher has two wives. There's actually a man who said that a preacher has two wives, but if we're not a preacher, we don't have one wife. My goodness, how can people be so stupid? I hate people who are stupid for the world, but I'll understand that Bible. That reason. Yeah. What is Paul teaching in Timothy? Paul is not dealing with divorce here at all. If he is, why did you hold with the first sort man? Yeah. And Paul knows how to deal with the subject. He's not dealing with divorce. It's important to know this. There's a perfectly good Greek word called to the view. To teach a divorce and remarry cannot be a pastor. That word is genuine. And it would have taught that no one could ever remarry, even after the death of a spouse, and still hold office in the Lord's church. The phrase would have read, married only once. That's not the word Paul used. That's not what Paul was dealing with. Bible speaks well of marriage, encourages marriage. This is going to be true of a pastor. Paul is dealing with the subject of polygamy. Now some say polygamy did not exist in those days. That's a lie. Well, I'm studying. Josephus mentions polygamy at least twice in his writings. Now, Galatians mentions it, Theodosia mentions it. Must have been there for them to mention it right now. It did exist. Some say it means only one living wife. What does it say? Signs in your mind. Others make this young farmer say, I'm just going to move on the road again. Oh, my goodness. Acts chapter 5, verse 38. I said you refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this council, this work be of men, they'll come to naught. Think about that while I'm down. I believe if God calls a man to the ministry, he's part of my life. I'll do something I'm doing. Brother T. Tiger, stand up. Brother Louis Tiger, stand up. Brother Troy Shepherd, please stand. Brother John Crook, please stand up. Brother Jim, you repent, God calls you to the gospel ministry. Brother Lord, did you repent? God called you to the gospel ministry. Brother Troy, God called you to preach. Brother Johnny, God called you to preach. You know what? I've heard. I've listened to them. And I believe that God qualified them. But some of you say, no, God didn't call. I tell you, brother, you be careful what you do. You be careful what you do. Said Brother Gene, and Brother Lewis, and Brother Troy, and Brother Connie, God didn't call you to the ministry. How dare you? I wonder why you're here. Look at Gerald with a bad thing. You say, preacher, you're being too hard, am I? I've been harder than you tell this man right here. God never called him to the gospel. Let's tell him the truth. 28 years. Well, have you prayed for those 28 years? I don't think so. You think I'm being hard? You are sitting in judgment of the prayer life of all four of these men, and you are saying they are deceived. Worse than that, worse than sight. You may be busy. The Great Baptist Church had three pastors. The church was founded in 1965. The church started with Joe Wilson, Peter Snyder, Mary Ann Snyder, and me and little Joe, when we were about this big in their living room. Joe Wilson was the divorce man. Peter Snyder had been in the church at that time, folks, to call him the pastor. And anyone in the Great Baptist Church, raise your hand, and in the church, folks, to call Gene Kiver as your pastor. Raise your hand. Did the church vote that? They did. Has God brought it to naught? We're having a Bible conference here today because our building isn't big enough. They're one of the bigger churches in our circle. They support a pastor full time. They support a missionary. Oh, well, but they made a mistake. They were deceived. Brother, think about what you're saying. Not only now have you questioned the prayer life of these four men, you have questioned the prayer life of the whole church. You think I'm hard? I tell you, deserve hard preaching. Two of the three pastors of this church, Gene Kiver, Joe Wilson, and Luther Wilson. Most of you say are not qualified to preach. Man up. Don't tell them to the face of your business. Oh, business is important. This is the most important position in all the world. Well, tell them. Don't tell the church you made a mistake. You need to call somebody else. Or better than that, study the Word of God and the position. Amen. Come to the truth. I'll give you this scenario and I'll close. I got to be close. Man marries a woman at a very young age. Was 17 when he met her, and she was 14. It causes both profess to be saved. They're married for several years. And then she commits adultery. He forgives her and takes her back. And she commits adultery again. This scenario took place 9 times. 9 times he took her back. Because he knew it was her best. The 10th time he wanted to take her back, she said, "No, I'm leaving." I remember hearing these words, "You can have the kid, I don't want it." I never hear those words. 9 times took her back. Praise God, she was saved, born again, child of God. That man took 2 young boys. But his friend raised him, took care of him. We didn't have a mother's home. Along with that, he passed to the church, worked for the post office. Along with that, we involved him in Brother Hobbs and I organized the church, involved in prison ministries together, edited the Baptist Examiner. For 62 years, preached the Word of God. But there are those who say, "Well, God never called me to preach. He was divorced and remarried." I beg your pardon. Study the issue. There are scriptural grounds for divorce. And if a man has a scriptural ground for divorce, if God calls him to preach the Word out, he has every right to preach the Word of God. Study. I challenge you, study. He has a scriptural divorce for bondage broken. He most certainly can marry again and brother God bless.